Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Bernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
So much hurt upon this earth, the doctors tell me that if you, right now, if somehow you could take all of the hurt you have had in your life, you wouldn't want to, but if you could take all of the hurt you've ever had, put it all together at once, and take it all at once, all of the hurt you've ever had, take it all at once, it would kill you. But the Word of God said the Father took all of the hurt that would ever be upon the entire earth, all the hurt that anyone would ever know for anything, took all of the hurt. He put it together all at once, and He dumped it upon Jesus all at once. And Jesus knew that the worst was yet to come. The next thing God did, we don't understand that either, but the Scripture is clear. God looked down from the sin of Adam and Eve unto the last man, woman that would ever live upon this earth, and He took every sickness that would ever be upon this earth. He took every case of cancer, every case of polio, every case of AIDS. He took every case of tonsillitis, croup, every case of every illness, disease this earth would ever know. And there's a million of them I never even heard of, but God took them all. All the sleeping sickness, all of the malaria, all of the diseases, everything. He took all of those diseases all over the world, all the AIDS, everything. He brought them all together into one. And He laid them upon Jesus. All at once He laid them upon Jesus. And Jesus didn't say a word, because He knew the worst was yet to come. The last thing God did, we will never understand till we get to be with the Lord. Somehow, sin hurts God. You and I don't understand that beyond our comprehension. But it does. Sin hurts God. And God looked down upon the entire world, from Adam and Eve unto every man, woman, and child that would ever be born. And God seen Adam and Eve partaking of the fruit they were told not to. He seen every case of adultery. He's seen every case of divorce. He's seen every case of incest. He's seen every case of rape. He's seen every little boy, every little girl that's ever been teased, that's ever been hurt, that's ever been in any kind of sin because of the hatred He felt for it. And He took all of the sin. He took all of the drunkenness. He took all of the fights. He took all of the crack and all of the grass and all of the different narcotics that are out there. He took the days when I used to shake my fist at heaven and say, God, if You're real, I hate You. I used to do that. He took all that sin that would be upon the world forever. Nobody understands it, but He took all that sin, all of it, every sin that would ever be committed, and God the Father put them together And he dropped them upon Jesus all at once. All the sin of all the world, all at once. And even Jesus, now Jesus cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou turned away from me? Because God can't look at sin. And God had to turn around. God couldn't look at Jesus anymore. He couldn't behold his own son anymore because of the sin that he had become for us. He became that sin for you. He became that sin for me. And God, the Father, could not look at him anymore. And Jesus looked down, and there were some Roman guards gambling over his vest. But he wasn't looking at them. Jesus was looking 2,000 miles down the road. He was looking at today. He was looking at the time when I used to shake my fist and say I hated him. He was looking at the divorce and the adultery. He was looking at the sin that's going on this very day. I don't care where you are today. I don't care who you've been sleeping with. I don't care what you've been putting in your veins. I don't care where you've been at. When Jesus looked down, he looked down through time. He's seen every bit of that. He's seen my sin. He's seen your sin. He's seen everybody's sin. And he looked back up and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was you and me he was talking about. Father, forgive them, for they know not that which they do. They do not understand the price that was paid for them. They do not understand that there is a way out, that there is freedom. And they don't understand it any more than I did the night that I stumbled into that church. But I want to tell you tonight, there is a way. Like I said, I was evil. I wasn't stupid. I don't know how many out there tonight are stupid. I don't know how many of you are just plain evil. But this next question will answer it. Because the next question is, how many of you are going to pray with me? You see, those of you who will pray with me, you're just evil. Those of you who will walk away and go right back to your Budweiser, your Jack Daniels, your crack, whatever it is, you're both stupid and evil. I ask you just to make a very simple prayer. It couldn't be anything complicated. I'll make the same prayer I made. See, because I wasn't even sure. But if you'll pray with me right now, we'll pray this. Jesus, if you're out there, if you're real, if you're what that guy on television just said you were, if you can deliver, if you can set free, If you can break his narcotics habit, if you can pay off his debts, if you can lose his warrants, if he never has to serve a day in jail, and you're not a respecter of persons, you'll do the same for me as you did for him, Jesus. Jesus, if you're real, if that's real, I'm asking you right now to come and to live in my heart, to change me, to make me a new creation. I want to be a born-again believer. I want to be a new creation. Jesus, tonight is my night. Jesus, right now, come, Lord. Wherever you are, whoever you're with, whatever you're doing, if you're sincere, if you're honest, Jesus is moving into your heart right now. I thank you for joining us.
Truth on my lips, Pastor Bernier's next message is a four-part series on Daniel, and here are some excerpts from the series.
I said, honey, when we first got saved, the first thing I did when we got a hold of the Bible is I went way back here to Revelation, and that was a little difficult when we first got saved, but I went way back there to Revelation. I skipped through the maps and all that because I couldn't understand any of them. But I got to Revelation, and I read the last chapter of Revelation, which made no sense at all. I couldn't figure any of it out. So then I went from Revelation 22 to 21, and that made even less sense, and I kept backing up and backing up and backing up until I had read all of Revelation. Then I found out there were a few other books I had to read to make any sense out of Revelation. But I read them all. First and Second Thessalonians. I read everything that pertained to Revelation. I read the prophecies in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And I read them all. But I read the end of the book and I found out that we win. We win. At the end of the book, we win. It turns out in our favor. And I said, this is a book that I want to read. Because this book turns out great. Not only do I win everything. I don't win just a few things, I win everything. God, it may. The angel of the Lord is speaking to Daniel. Been talking to him for a while. And then he says to Daniel in verse 13, but as for you, go your way unto the end, and then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. Now, let me give that to you in 20th century English. What it's really saying there. The angel of the Lord came to Daniel to have a discussion with him. And after he talked to Daniel for a while, he said, look, Daniel, don't worry about it, man. Go your way. Do whatever you're going to do. Go fishing. Take a camping trip. Go to the carnival. Go to the fair. Do whatever you were going to do. Have a good time. Go your way. Right up until the end. Have a good time. The end is coming. You're going to die someday. Because then you will enter into your rest. You're going to enter into your sleep. You're going to enter into your rest. He said, and then you're going to sleep for a while, but then you're going to rise again. You're going to rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. In other words, you're going to rise from the dead. God is going to raise you from the dead at the end of the age. When the world's all over with, God's going to raise you from the dead. And then you're going to spend the rest of eternity with the Lord. You're going to spend the rest of eternity, time without end, with God. Daniel made up his mind. That's the first thing he did. He made up his mind. All sin, or good deeds for that matter, come from the mind first. They come from the mind and are carried out through the body. The sin is not when you're in the motel room with the other guy's wife. The sin is 2 weeks back there when you started thinking about it and started fantasizing about it and started wondering how you were going to set this up. That's when the sin occurred. And the same thing is true with the good works which Jesus has made up in advance to be brought before us in its proper time. But Daniel made up his mind. he was going to die if he had to, that he would not defile himself. I wonder how many of you today are willing to make up your mind, life or death situation, make up your mind, life or death. You are not going to defile yourself with the booze and the liquor of this world, with the clothing of this world. Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself. See if you can make up your mind tonight of one thing. Forget all the rest of the stuff. Just one thing. One thing. Can you go before God tonight? And can you say, God, I will not. I made up my mind. My feet are set in rock. I made up my mind. I will not watch that filthy, foul TV anymore. I'll pull the plug on it. If there's an educational program on for the kids, I'll plug it back in, and I'll let them watch something, and as soon as that's over with, I'll unplug it. But I won't allow that filthy thing to run night and day like I have been. You think you could do just that one thing? Daniel's already got the answer. He knows what it's all about. You know how most people would have went in there? 99% of the world would have went in there with this number, full of pride, saying, yeah, King, I got the answer for that one. I am the man, King. I have just arrived. I got your answer for you, King. I'm the man. But notice what Daniel says. Daniel doesn't say, I'm the man. Got your answer for you. He said, there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. How many times somebody asks you a question, room full of people, nobody got the answer but you, and you say, I'm smarter than all of you, I got the answer to that. Or do you say, God gave me the answer to that one? How many times has that happened in your life? In fact, how many times have you heard it in your life? Chances are never. God gave me the answer to that one. He wasn't seeking glory for himself. He was giving glory to God. He has made known unto King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days, in the end days, the day that you and I are living in today. You got to read this. Interesting. Scare you to death. The law says you cannot kneel down and pray to any other god. That's the law. The first thing that Daniel does, he goes home, opens all the windows so everybody can see, and kneels down and prays towards Jerusalem, that everybody can see that he is praying to his God. Daniel is faithful to his God. And I looked at that and I wrote it down and I said, faithful. Daniel is faithful to his God. Nothing going to change this man. He is going to be faithful. And he ran down to the lion's den. And he stood outside the lion's den and he said, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? What a stupid question. What a stupid question. Did he expect Daniel to answer if he hadn't been delivered? No, sorry, couldn't do that, gang. I've been all eaten up by the lions. I mean, give me a break here. This is a stupid question. But then Daniel spoke. I know what I'd have said about that time. Hey, look, fool. One of these days, you are going to make me mad. Now, you know me and God is close. You don't want to be keeping this up with me. That isn't what Daniel said. Daniel spoke, and he said, O king, live forever. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Where are you? Stop and think, my children. Where are you? Where are you in comparison with my word? Jesus says, where are you? If I come, will I find faith? Jesus is saying to you right now, are you ready? Are you ready if I come? Because there'll never be another chance. I don't care what anybody tells you, there'll never be another chance. If he comes and you're not ready, you're not going. And there will never be another chance. Don't let anybody tell you, well, you can get right now. God will pick you up the next time round. No, he won't. There ain't no next time round for you. It's all done. You see, because you've heard the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit, has given you the gospel. He told you last week the price that he paid for you. And this week, he's talking to you about obedience.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time for the alarm call. Remember, if you'd like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.